The Lord's peace and joy be with you this day. The Lord gave me a beautiful, beautiful message that I'm really going to enjoy sharing with you. It is May the 26th, 2015, and tonight I was worshiping to Terry McAlmon's songs, and the Lord was so very present and wanting my complete attention. Good luck with that. I'm his little butterfly. I'd do just fine for a few moments, and then my mind would wander, and he would gently chide me, "Where are you?" And I'd gently refocus. Oh, how patient he is. So many times I wandered, and so many times he brought me back. I was fixing coffee in the kitchen, and he was still dancing with me. He wouldn't let me out of his sight. But mostly he insisted on looking into my eyes and having me look intently, following his eyes as well. He was so very conversational, engaging and pleasant. I began to settle down and really feel comfortable. I actually relaxed, and we chatted. But don't ask me what we talked about. That's not in my universe anymore. In spite of all the ginkgo I take, I still have memory problems. Can anyone else relate? But as I was typing this up, I just remembered one exchange. I was going to change one of the songs. It was Jessica Kitola's song, Here in Your Presence. And he said, "No, don't change it. I like this song." Isn't that just like a man? And when the line was coming up, "You are mine and I am yours. You are God and I am yours," he said, "This is my favorite part." I think Holy Spirit helped me remember. He doesn't need ginkgo. Okay, so getting into the message, Jesus began, "Oh, my sweet, sweet dove, how eagerly I look forward to your parting with the earth. That means that forevermore I shall have your attention and be able to keep it, too." I can't even imagine having an attention span like that, as much as I tend to drift off into la-la land. He replied, "You won't be drifting anymore. You'll be in la-la land." And I said, "And I won't have to drink frappuccinos to keep my focus, right?" "No. But you'll have them anyway, made from the choicest beans from the mountains of heaven. And oh, the ice cream is out of this world." "I don't doubt that," I said. "No, I'm serious. Ice cream like you've never, never had on earth. I promise you, there's nothing in your experience like it." "I like that rose-flavored ice cream we had once in a Middle Eastern restaurant." "Oh, you'll have your fill of that." "How does that work, Lord? I mean, that's kind of awkward, stomachs and things." "Do you really want to know?" "Only if you want to tell me." "Sure. In heaven, your body is ethereal and real. There is no such thing as human waste. No water closets, no toilets in heaven." "Wow, that's a relief." "Well said. Relief is a constant state. You never have to relieve yourself." "You like to play with words too, don't you?" "May I say I invented them?" "You may." "Okay, seriously. Because you are in another dimension where there is no decay or growth beyond maturity, there are no dead cells, no bacteria, nothing of that sort. Food, in a manner of speaking, is eaten and enjoyed, but travels through your body as if inhaled. It has very little bearing on your body's composition or state. Good news, you won't get fat from sweets. You will always be as slender and as perfect as I made you to be. There are no hormonal abnormalities and no environmental stress on the body, mind, or senses. It's pure, harmonious bliss." "Oh, Jesus, I miss playing my keyboard and the cello. It just about sends me into seventh heaven, wherever that is." "Would you like to change the subject, my love?" "Oh, you're such a perfectly charming gentleman." He continued, "Everything in heaven is run on thought and desire. All desires are pure and godly. Even the desire to enjoy food is godly." No, I better put it this way for you gourmets. It is very godly to enjoy food. Why? Because my being derives pleasure from seeing your pleasure. Because my heart is so in love with those who have given me their all that I want to give them my all. And when they return thanks, it is praise and a form of worship. Allow me to explain. You see, when you appreciate, truly appreciate from the heart, knowing the source is me, when you appreciate anything, you are, in fact, worshiping me. On earth, I ask you to abstain many times because your flesh and carnal nature and the environment is so full of demons, it can very easily get out of hand and contaminate your desires with carnality. But not in heaven. There I delight to see you petting your lion and sipping your frappuccinos and delighting in the trees that sing to you. The trees sing to us? Oh, yes, they love to sing to you. Don't you know all creation sings? You just haven't tuned into that frequency, but in heaven you will have access to all frequencies. Oh, glory, what awaits you is beyond your ability to comprehend. But I delight in giving you glimpses. Back to food, Lord? What more is there to say? There are those employed in the preparation of food because they love to work with the flavors and sanctified senses that are stimulated by food. But in heaven, food never becomes the focus. The glory of the Father is always the focus, always. And as you heard from Jesse Duplantis, we are constantly coming in and going forth from one another, and the love exchanged resounds in heaven with even the tiniest of creatures. A blade of grass responds in worshipful sounds. And even though eating is worshipful, the soul is so drawn back to the Father that the longing to be in his presence, worshiping, soon overtakes the enjoyment of food. You see, it's circular. Everything returns to the Father and to us. We created the milieu. When he says milieu, he's talking about the atmosphere in heaven. So that your desires are instantly realized in appreciation and recognition of the source. Then you return thanks to us, and so does a constant atmosphere of worship. But nothing compares to the essence of pure worship, and so everyone wants to be in the throne room. But how does that work? I mean, how does everyone fit in the throne room? He laughed joyfully. This goes beyond your understanding of dimensions. There are dimensions among dimensions among dimensions, and there's always room for one more. But remember that in heaven, everyone is serving in different capacities. So worship and its timing for each individual is very orderly, although never does a soul have to wait for comfort. Comfort is always there when it is needed. But I thought that in heaven no one ever suffered. There is continuous joy, but there's also the awareness that things are not completed. There's work to be done. And on the way to completion, there's empathy. And in empathy, there's pain. And pain needs comfort. Lord, does this happen a lot? Unfortunately, until the end of the millennium, it will occur far more than we would like it to. But it's part of what keeps everyone serving. But it's not the kind of pain on earth where things are dark, foreboding, and depressing, oppressive. No, in heaven there's hope and remedy on the way. There are needs, and all are constantly serving the needs of those on earth. Prayers are being offered. Healings are happening. Music is being imparted straight from heaven. There are no needs for the citizens of heaven. All needs are met abundantly. But those on earth and in transition to coming here, they have needs. that the angels and saints see to. That is something I will not go into detail about at this time. Suffice it to say, all are very alive and focused on the work entailed in ministering salvation to souls, the salvation I accomplished on the cross. There are times when the windows of heaven are closed, and there is, in a manner of speaking, retreat time, a time of rest from the awareness of the needs of earth. This is something the Father determines. It is usually a time of extreme joy and celebration without awareness of things outside of heaven. Lord, I thought no one ever got tired in heaven. Oh, no, that's a misconception. There's always comfort and refreshment in heaven. But laboring for souls can take a heavy toll, especially when spiritual warfare is in progress. In your terms, everything is very electrical, even as I have shown you how lightning is a sign of warfare in the first heaven. That's our atmosphere. There are exchanges of energies that are damaging, but in heaven repair is always happening. And yes, there are beds in heaven, just for reclining and refreshment. There are energy dynamics that on earth most are not familiar with. Why do you suppose I made us a hammock in the forest? I hadn't thought about that, Lord. Oh, yes, there are times of refreshment and recreation, many such times. Claire, it is not to be imagined on this earth the delights I've prepared especially and exclusively for each soul. Really, I want to see them overwhelmed with wonder in my love for them. Now, my bride, I have given you a glimpse of the joy that lays ahead. Do not grow apprehensive as clouds appear on the horizon. Rather, delight yourself in my promises to you. The darker it gets, the sooner my arrival. I impart to you this night the capacity for unending joy, even in trial, for my hand has formed you, dear ones, and to each I impart and quicken what their soul needs. Eye has not seen, but now that I have told you, lock it securely away in your hearts and ponder it often.
Here.